Hello and welcome back to JLXP.
Hello and welcome back to JLXP. I thought you invited me on. I normally host.
You're gonna host.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Welcome to JLXP. This is the golf episode. I'm Joshua Jadleesman. I just destroyed Degon in golf. That's basically what happened.
Wow. So, couple of announcements right off the bat.
Sure.
Degon is joining the episode.
Hi, everyone.
For episode 100.
Oh, it is?
Of JLXP.
You're a grinder, man.
I was. Now it's, I apologize, it is a very inconsistent product. Mm. Again, as you can probably note from the increased production quality, this is a companion episode for Let's Go. Mm-hmm. You and I talked LCS finals while golfing. It was a really cool experience to be able to do it, especially with you, someone I golf with a whole bunch.
A lot.
Again, thank you everyone for watching. Please check out Let's Go over on the LCS YouTube channel and JLXP over here. And I think we just want to talk about finals. Since this is your first time on the podcast for episode 100.
That's right.
How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been, this year I got to come back to LCS.
Yeah.
It's been...
You got to play-by-play LCS.
Yes. I got to be a guest analyst and then play-by-play and do interviews. And, you know, it felt very much like a homecoming, like a, you know, it was what it felt like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
But way more comfortable. Mm-hmm. I got to cast Kobe, who makes it so easy, as you've gotten to cast with Kobe forever. He's just a big kid and finds things he's excited about and goes from there, and then share the desk with you, Emily, and Raz. And that just felt like hanging out, doing the thing that we love to do, which is talk LCS and share that with everyone.
Yeah.
And other than that, it's been a good year.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And just a quick note as well for podcast listeners, we are on the golf course. People are teeing off. You might hear some announcements. Don't mind that.
Yeah.
What do you think about last weekend? Because I think I did think that the FlyQuest Cloud9 series was going to be close.
Mm-hmm.
It was not.
It was not scoreline-wise.
I guess. The games themselves were fairly competitive.
You had Berserker as a win condition in game number one.
Mm-hmm.
You had JoJo as a win condition in game number two. And then... JoJo was just getting destroyed in game number three.
Yeah, right, because JoJo had no kills in the series, but he was up. He had like 220 CS at like 17 minutes on Yone. Like, he was getting pretty fed.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, a deceptive 3-0, but at the end of the day, a 3-0.
Yeah.
And I think it's been interesting because I get to hear the grumblings from homies in the back end from scrim results, and Cloud9 has been dominant in scrims, which is why... Everyone picked them. Impact, after his win against 100 Thieves, said, it's probably going to be Cloud9. They always find a way to do it. Sorry, Jensen. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And then this shows up where they... I mean, FlyQuest executed their comps very well, made it very difficult to allow solo lane dominant players to find a way in team fights. Mm-hmm. They team fought very well around Drake, and I thought that was... That was really cool to see from FlyQuest, to have a team that's not like, hey, we imploded a lane and now the other team can't play. They found ways to continue to win despite Masu showing some like rookie nerves, I'd say.
Yeah. I did a bit of a joke bit that was kind of serious at the very start of the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, is C9 back like graph?
Yeah.
So originally it started with my high school grades.
Oh, okay.
So it started off pretty good because it was like, I think I put like PE, I got like an A.
Okay.
And then it kept going down.
You got
it
was an A like, in PE?
Yeah, it's easy to get an A in PE. You just try.
Yeah, but you're always injured. Jat played football with us and his ankle's made out of tape.
It is. That's because I was trying so hard in PE.
Okay.
But so it starts there and then it's like, it just keeps going down as you go through the subjects until it's like, you know, art is a D.
Yep.
Then it kicked up a little bit because I got like a B in science, and then kicked down because I got like I failed French, and then at the end I got like an A in math.
Mm.
And the question was like, you know, is this student the best student in school? And you're like, no, of course not.
Yeah.
And then you reveal, and it's like, well, how good does C9 look in week 1, 2, 3, 4? Okay, a little bit in week 5, bad again. Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah.
And the whole is C9 back, like. Actually, they were back this week.
Yes.
Because that's the C9 we've actually seen more than the C9 that we're getting back to.
Correct.
Which is the disappointing thing. I think it would have been nice if the super team narrative could have carried through or if they could have figured it out progressively throughout the split. But it really kind of feels like they just kind of roll the dice every single week that they go in, and if they're playing really well, they actually do feel a little unbeatable, because the most hopeless form of League of Legends is when you lose all three lanes and you're down 3,000 or 4,000 gold, because it feels like you have nowhere to go.
Right.
But C9's only been able to hit those notes 2 of the 7 or 8 weeks that they've played.
Yeah. I think at some point, North America just has to learn. Super teams do not work in North America.
Or anywhere.
Yeah.
What's the super team off the top of your head that worked?
T1.
Was that
back.
A super team, though?
Yeah, they, at one point, we were saying they were the best players in all their positions at all times, and that it looked like they were dipping going to Worlds, and then they win Worlds, and Dom has nothing to complain about now.
I mean, let's... Okay, this actually... We haven't prepped this at all, but let's. I want to use T1 as an example. Then.
Sure.
Because when they didn't have Faker, mm-hmm. they were one of the worst teams.
Sorry, Poby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, also, Poby was like... below average for LCK mid laner.
Yes.
He would have been one of the worst mid laners in LCK, and he's still in Challengers this year.
Yeah.
Without Faker, things entirely stopped working. And I talked to Huni about this. Like, Faker will do so much to make in-fight, post-fight, and pre-fight decisions for the collective.
Yes.
So, to me, that's not necessarily like the super team composition, because the super team composition is like, okay, this guy, he was the best top laner on his team, and he knew how to win games as a top laner. And same for jungle, and same for mid, and same for AD, which is kind of like, we've seen Berserker hard carry games.
Yeah.
We've seen JoJo on EG, like, make everything about JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Blabber be the farm god over and over again.
The two-time MVP.
But, so that's the super team that doesn't work. And I wouldn't just not consider T1 a super team, because we didn't see...
Faker be super dominant in lane.
Well, no, I'd say Faker is the glue for the hands players.
Yeah.
But like Zeus, and obviously he's never really had the chance to prove it outside of the small amount of time Faker was injured.
Yeah.
But like Zeus was never like bin level on the like, actually this team wins through bin for a year.
Yeah.
He's just insanely good in lane
and
then gets directed around. So that, I don't know, that's the team that make, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It has the interconnectivity to make sense.
Yeah. I guess you imagine Vulcan to be that player. Berserker is that player. Blabber has proven it. JoJo has proven it. Fudge.
Yeah.
The glue guy?
He would have to be.
Yeah.
He would have to be that glue.
Hey, play weak side. Here you go. Kassante, yeah. Ornn.
That's like the only way it has a chance of working.
Renekton maybe sometimes.
Yeah. And even more so, like, another way it would only have a chance of working is if, like, Vulcan also takes a step back. Or Blabber takes a big step back.
So that's the interesting thing. Vulcan did take a big step back this season. I didn't have him on my All-Pro. I didn't have him at third team. I probably trolled a little bit at support, but bot and support just were trolling in general.
Sure.
You know, the top teams didn't quite have that. I think I had Huhi and Isles, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think he played better. He's played better in playoffs compared to what he played with in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
He was making a lot of mistakes that would end games or, like, you know, be the cause of them losing. He wasn't the case this time. It really was... JoJo and Berserker trying to find ways in, Blabber being the person in front, and they weren't able to find ways in, and FlyQuest then outfight them.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like to me. And then on the other side, you saw Busio making plays specifically on the Nautilus, hook after hook, and that was just so interesting because we're so used to seeing Vulcan do that. It really feels like this super team is missing that extra step to get the ball rolling right now, and then they can start showing off how great they are, because we just saw it the week before.
I know.
We just saw it the week before.
Yeah.
To be fair, 100 Thieves didn't look so great in the playoffs, but it is good to see that and feel that. I think when you're a team and you have all those expectations, you don't get to have it, and then you have 1 week where it's like, oh, this is how it's supposed to work.
Clicked.
It should be helpful, but then they get 3-0'd, and it's like, oh, now what happens with all of our scrim results where they've been so dominant, where they've been dumping on, you know, I guess TL, Immortals, whoever else is still scrimming 100 Thieves, I don't know. But like, what do you do now?
That's a good question. Because I think when you get swept by FlyQuest and your goal is obviously to win the LCS, there's two directions you can go.
All right.
You either try and find that identity of actually, you know, Berserker needs an enchanter, so they were banning out Lushanami, but let's find other enchanter combos that we could make work because Berserker is just so good. So they ban out all the ADs and they try and do Aphelios Lulu or Zeri Lulu
yep.
or Zerinami or something.
And again, had opportunities.
And they might, and with that, you would then say, okay, Fudge is going up. They have to start with TL. Mm-hmm. Fudge is going up against Impact. Mm-hmm. Impact's not going to counter pick you and punish you hard. Mm-hmm. So we can just blind pick a big old tank up there, Gragas or Ornn, and then we'll just run the map through mid jungle and a scaling AD. Mm-hmm. That's like the one that fits, but it's also not something they've actually done all split. So that's where you have to make the decision of, does this dominate lane strategy still have the potential to win us the split? Or do we have a higher chance of winning the split by throwing out what we've been practicing for a month and a half and trying something different? I think you want to change because you got swept, mm-hmm. but I think the right decision is to just run it back.
Coach Jat, run it back. That's
what
he wants
really
to do.
It's really disappointing that that's the correct answer, but on this timeline, when only three LCS teams are still playing,
yeah.
maybe FlyQuest is willing to scrim C9? Probably not. Mm. They probably don't even have a practice opponent for a week.
They'll
find something. But
Immortals made it very public. They're still scrimming all the way through.
They're not going to get good scrims.
Okay, that's
they're not going to get good scrims for the next 5 days.
That's fair.
They can't pivot well. Mm. If they do, it's damn impressive and also will make you head scratch why they didn't just do that at any point sooner. So yeah. like because of the constraints and because they need one series to go to MSI, and if they think they can beat TL this way, you can fix it on the way to MSI, in theory.
Yeah.
You can try to fix it on the way to MSI. So I think they're actually just going to run it back, pick winning lanes, and just try and play better.
Well, doesn't that make it super exciting for Team Liquid then? To understand, okay, this is the pressure that Cloud9 is under.
Yeah.
They have two choices of stay with aggressive lanes, break a lane, and then play through that, or put all the eggs in the Berserker basket.
Yeah.
And in the middle of draft in game number one, you get to see and try to pivot what your draft against their draft. And this is the mind game that I think a lot of the time we miss out on mm-hmm. because it's difficult in the moment during Champ Select to share those things. And even now, when we're kind of skipping past Champ Select when we did it during the regular season, now there was less emphasis on it. So I think during playoffs, it's a really cool opportunity to show how things evolve. And Spawn and Rainover are going to be well aware of this. Core JJ and Impact are going to be well aware of this and the evolution of that. And you think of these two coaching staffs with Mythy, who's, for some reason, everyone forgets that this is the guy that has led them to championships, who's weathered so many personal and professional storms.
Yeah.
Like, they forget that he is the person that can handle this.
I mean, for what it's worth, I don't think Mythy does himself any favors with how he communicates publicly or in media interviews. He doesn't want to give away anything. Like, we did the pre-coach interview, and I asked him, like, I thought I was setting him up for a question, which you're never going to get anything out of Mythy in a pre-coach interview, is kind of the lesson. But mm-hmm. it was like, okay, you won two titles in a row. Mm-hmm. Then you went to finals. Mm-hmm. A win today would get you into finals again. Like, what is something you need to do today that can get you back there? So you're kind of hoping, like, okay, what do we do differently for playoffs? Like, what do we need to watch out for? Is there a level of focus? Is there, he's like, win. It's like the most Bill Belichick answer ever. Like, you know there's got to be something they are actually doing.
Yeah.
But when he says win, and then they go on stage and pick the same crap they've been picking for 6 weeks and not working, of course the fans are going to think, that's what I mean by him not doing himself any favors. I think he's clearly doing stuff behind the scenes, but he just doesn't want to talk about it because he thinks that'll give someone else an advantage.
You got to ask a better question, man. You got to trap him.
Give me the trap question for Mythy.
What is the trap question for Mythy? Okay. It would be, so you did a great job setting up context, right? Last couple. It would be, I guess if I say what is missing,
he's just going to say, you know, the wins. Like,
the wins.
It's so easy. Yeah. If you're committed to not answering the question, you're never going to answer the question.
That's fair.
In that format. Yeah. Anyway, I like the point you brought up about TL mm-hmm. and C9.
Yeah.
Because in the same way that C9 hasn't changed, I think TL's changed a lot in 8 weeks.
Yes.
I think I am not taking credit for this. This is just a
personal thing. Here it comes. TL Jet. He's still doing it.
I just made Spawn aware that through the first half of the regular season, they had the lowest combined kills per minute. It was actually, I think the first, it was either the first 3 weeks or the first 4 weeks. It might have been going into the break week. The lowest combined kills per minute of any team in the LCS, in the LEC, in the LPL, in the LCK. They were the slowest team in the world. And then I remember talking to the playoffs, to the players, like Spawn was like, oh damn. And then all the players were like, so we heard that we need to fight more. So like, obviously they had needed to fight more the whole year and they had fought a lot in scrims and were unable to fight a lot on stage. But that has just been like, I can tell Spawn and Reignover and Core and Impact have just found ways to create conflict and they're getting better and better at it every week.
Yeah.
To the point that their FlyQuest series had 205 kills.
Yeah, it's the LCS record, right?
44 more than any other LCS playoff series ever.
Yeah.
Which is absurd.
Yeah.
And they're over one combined kill per minute for the playoffs. And that pace is normally, when we go into Worlds and we look at the combined kills per minute stats, usually only like one VCS team is over one. Mm-hmm. Like the craziest, fightiest region. And that's the pace that Team Liquid is actually playing on now. So they've changed so much. And Umpty, we had him on the couch for a post-series interview, was mentioning that, like, I don't remember the exact word that he used, but he's so emotive that I can express the same sentiment.
Yeah.
He's like, we just make the other team mad. That's all they do. He's just like, you want that ward? We want that ward. You want that gromp? We want that gromp. And they just wait for them to fight back. And as soon as they fight back, it's like, I guess we're fighting.
Yeah.
So they're just making these really good tempo plays. Like the way they do this, right? It's obviously not just like we want to fight a lot. They're really good at resetting. They're really good at playing macro. And they're just so much more willing to just flip a fight when it's there. So it's going to be really interesting because I think they've actually improved a lot.
And I like the way that Umpty said that because even with APA and type racing and really getting into the opponent's head other than Digger Toss, like he said, Vow of Silence, but, you know, chirping away at all pro first team, what's that, you know, and then getting to chirp at JoJo. You make him mad by constantly playing Ziggs. You're like, what? Why do we have to waste a ban on Ziggs?
Uh-huh.
You know, that could make the coach mad. That could make JoJo mad. That could make anyone mad. It's like, well, you just took away a ban from the bot lane pool, from the top lane pool, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I like that sentiment there by Team Liquid. It's just annoying the opponent to distract them to make a mistake, and they've been good enough to find fights that has been favorable for them.
Yeah, and they have kind of ran it down a little bit too. Like, I know Inspired was flaming, it was Bwipo, was flaming the crap out of Yon for the FlyQuest series. I think it was the FlyQuest series, but because Yon got player of the series. And I mean, his stat line was incredible.
It was.
But Bwipo pointed out like two or three times where like, he literally just ran it down in the team fight. Like, oh, how do you win player of the series for that? Like,
And
it's true. Yon still makes a lot of big mistakes. APA, Umpty, Korg has had some terrible engages. Like they've all done some bad things, but they're playing at a pace that makes them more forgiving.
Yeah, well, I want to speak to Yon a little bit more because for the longest time, the narrative was when they had Harry, it was where's the firepower for this team?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Summit comes along, is like, okay, they are clearly playing through Summit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, playoff Pioshik showed up and it was like, okay, they have Summit and Pioshik.
Yeah.
Now, I think we got to see the glimpse of playoff Yon and scrim Yon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is what they've seen for years through the academy system when he was with Ayla and Harry now, and then filling in the LCS roster and making those mistakes. I think it's fantastic that he's making those mistakes in the upper bracket when they had the opportunity to learn from those mistakes because he did so much good to even get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many times throughout Yon's career where you don't even get to that final team fight because you died first or whatever. And now we got to see, oh, he can hold the weight. He can be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He can be the firepower that AD carries are supposed to be in this meta where you just farm, and then try to do as much damage before eventually you die because everything kills you. Before, he was very good at the farm, die. Now he dished out a lot of damage, outplayed some players. It was very exciting to see. Yes, they lost.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that if they have a chance, you got to stand up to Berserker and don't let them run the lane, because that is one of their win conditions. It's breakthrough bot. And I think shoring that up is huge.
Yeah. Here's the question I have for TL, though, because they've clearly gone through this mini transformation where they're fighting a lot more.
Yep.
But if there is a team that is most likely to backfire against, it's the team with the best hands.
Yeah.
Which is Cloud9.
Yep.
And when TL wasn't playing very well early on in the year, they played, I don't remember exactly the team comp that it was, but it was a heavy scaling team comp. And they just lane swapped at like 5 minutes and just kind of danced around and made it so C9 couldn't get fights for like 15 minutes. And then they won like the most boring game in LCS. I don't think you can just like, oh yeah, just lane swap forehead and you don't fight. It's not that simple, but I do wonder if they're thinking that in the back of their heads, like, actually, you know, we should actually play slower this week.
Maybe, but Coach Jat just told us that we need to fight, and look how good we've done since he told us we need to fight. So
yeah, I'm a huge person about like hit one shot shape because that's what you're used to doing.
That's right.
So it's like play one way.
So that's why you think Cloud9 is just going to play aggressive through lanes, and Team Liquid is going to annoy them till it's time to fight and try to get a good jump on the fights.
That's probably what's going to happen, but I just know that the instinct at the sign of the first adversity is to hard pivot.
Yeah.
So those are, you know, if like you're saying, Coach Jaft, who, you know, only coached for a year 3 years ago, that's probably what I would want to do. But there's also what I, you know, human nature is going to pick one of the two choices.
Both these coaches have been in those systems for a long time.
Yeah.
Mithy has been in control over at Cloud9 for a while. Spawn has been in the system over at TL for a
while.
So I don't know if pivot at the first move is an unintentional move. If they do it, it's because...
Or they've actually been practicing it, because that's another thing that can happen, is there's something you've been working on but haven't really been willing to bring it to stage yet, so that when you actually do bring it to stage, you end up getting this big element of surprise.
What is a, because mid lane pool is very different, right?
Yeah, no Azir,
and then, you know, APA, Ziggs, Orianna, JoJo, anything.
Yeah.
What do you think is a key champ in the mid lane that needs to be watched?
Nico.
Mm.
Weirdly enough, JoJo won like half of his games this split on Azir. So that being gone, as much as we memed about Jensen no longer having a champion pool, actually kind of hurt Cloud9 more.
Yeah.
Only because I think Azir was the glue that made C9 work a bit, because you could still play, or JoJo could kind of still do his thing, but then still be a playmaker and facilitator on Azir. You can kind of do the same thing with Nico. That will probably be banned a lot.
Actually, now that you said that, isn't that the champ that he used against TL in that very, very, very long game?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was, he was on that, and I think APA was a Tristana? He got really big, and I remember JoJo outplaying him with like a stopwatch Zhonya's play in the top lane.
Yeah, super, super good at Nico. I think there was a mid lane play in that in that game. It might have, either way, he's had big Nico highlights.
Yeah.
Taliyah's going to be a big pick. APA and JoJo both had some big games on Taliyah.
Yeah.
And I think that's about as deep as you need to go, because all the other bans are honestly going to be bot lane.
Yeah.
We're seeing Kalista, Senna. Smolder is an interesting one, because I think Yawn's probably the best at stacking Smolder of anyone in the LCS.
Super fast. Was it 20?
Yeah, it was like 20 minutes, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But it's just because he had 6 stacks in a level 1 fight, which was really broken.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's me talking myself into TL a little bit, which is weird.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Like, what do you, who you got? Who you got, Jet? TL Jet?
TL 3-1.
TL 3-1.
That's if Cloud9 breaks. Like,
right.
This is the stupid thing about Cloud9. Like, literally, if they just play better, and I know that's the stupidest thing to say, but it's...
Get this, here's the forehead.
They're good enough players with enough instincts, and I don't care how bad your team comp is if you have a 4,000 goal lead of 14 minutes.
Yeah.
I feel like all the games they've lost that people have said draft diff, they're the same drafts that they've 3-0'd 100 Thieves with, but they were just more ahead. And they're always capable of just being more ahead.
Give me Cloud9. I think you've seen the highs of this team, and it's better than any other team, mainly because, not Busio, but Masu has had some troubles. I think that's the main reason why.
What are you saying, give me Cloud Nine for the whole week?
No.
We can go to FlyQuest now.
Yeah, sure. Let's go to, but we're going to FlyQuest with two different teams. You're going with TL. I'm going with Cloud Nine.
So, okay, you're saying C9. So now let's do C9 Fly rematch.
C9 Fly rematch. I think it's 3-1 Fly. I think they're just more complete. I think Bwipo has more options in the top lane than Fudge. Fudge's Gragas could not crack the Renekton. Mm-hmm. So when he doesn't get Renekton, it's been an issue. And Jensen got to show more than Orianna. It was cool. He showed Karma.
They forgot about it. He played Orianna
Huey, right?
Again.
It was a Huey
as
well.
Yeah, it was Karma, Huey, Orianna.
Yeah, that was like super cool. And then to the point where they fell right into the draft trap. Boom, back to Orianna. Here he is. However many years, 7, 8, 9 years in the LCS, multiple championship titles. Boom, comfort zone. And that's what it looked like. It was great. It was so cool to see vintage Jensen, like pre like Cloud Nine callback. Mm-hmm. Right, he was a dominant force when they won the championship in summer 2022. They went to Worlds. You could tell he was going to have trouble at Worlds. You could tell that he was no longer the carry. It was like play Azir, hold your lane, you know, do damage from a little further away if you don't get Orianna. Then fast forward to last weekend, he was a dominant force. He was back to being the bully, and it was it was great to see. It was just great to see for a player who has been a great servant to the LCS in North America, who's been playing for such a long time and at a high level. Last year on Dignitas was maybe the first time he wasn't a top three mid laner.
Yep.
Like even when we're giving him grief about like 2022, he was still a top three mid laner. And it's just very, very impressive to see someone kind of get doubted like that, get pushed down, get another shot at redemption and find success to at least go to MSI, if not win the championship this weekend.
Yeah. Jensen will be motivated as well because I think we talked about this on the golf course, but he won the title with C9.
Yep.
And then they promptly moved on.
Diplex.
Yeah, Diplex, MNS. And they actually did find success without him immediately.
And he did not. His streak of Worlds ended.
Yeah, but Team Liquid also, before that, won titles with him, kept him for 3 years, but then also moved on for Bjergsen. And then they were never able to win with Bjergsen, which no one really gives Jensen credit for. Of like, aha, Bjergsen couldn't win with TL, but Jensen... I'm sure he's thinking something like that in the back of his head.
Bwipo also swapped out.
Yeah, I mean, believe me, both Bwipo and Jensen will have reasons to want to be TL. Mm-hmm. But there's just that intrinsic motivation of being passed over. And just the fact that he's playing against the two teams he's previously won titles for to win a title against them, in spite of them, for a third unique team is really powerful for his legacy as well.
Yeah.
The other thing I like about this team, the FlyQuest team, and I know it's been stated before, but it's just how assertive Inspired and Bwipo seem to be able to be on that team. They play the game the way those two want to play it. Jensen is not a wild card, even if he did pull out the Karma. Like, you know generally what you're going to get out of him now.
Yep.
As you mentioned, he's not really winning lane hard, or at least he's not requiring Inspired to go mid. If Inspired wants to go mid, though, it's there.
Yep.
Right? If he doesn't want to go mid, he's not mad about it. He's not inting. And he'll always be there in team fights. Like, he is probably, of the players in the LCS, the best team fighting mage mid player.
Yes, I would.
You were like, how can JoJo be better than this?
Yeah.
You're thinking like, I thought JoJo was the best.
Well, I would say last year peaking Palafox was maybe close, but that was it. That was the flash in the pan.
Right? Yeah.
That was the flash in the pan, whereas Jensen has done it for years.
And I think Palafox was more about side lanes and some of the melee flex picks they were doing and these like other like ways to pressure the map.
I feel like Palafox Tilia comes to mind though. Like that's but that's
for sure.
Lane.
But that's again. And Jensen's Tilia is like pretty good.
Yeah.
His rise has always been like pretty good.
Yeah.
But he's like, okay, he's the Azir Orianna. Huey actually fits this, right?
Yep.
He's just gonna destroy team fights. If the setup is there, he's gonna carry the game.
Slight pivot. When's the last time we've had a rookie win LCS?
Oh, like a year ago with MNS?
He's not a rookie, man. Okay. He was playing everywhere. He's in LEC. He was in the EU Masters. Like, what, like
he was in Europe. He was in like a bunch of minor regions. He was in OS. Yeah. He was like a big journeyman.
Yes.
Okay, let's think.
Is it all the way back to?
It's gonna be so recently. I swear. Okay, let's just go. Let's go back through the titles.
So let me go where I know for sure, which is CLG Stix A and Huey.
Okay, 2015, 2016? 2016 spring.
2016.
It's happened before then.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's just do it quick.
I know. We actually just do it quick. NRG, no.
No.
Those were super experienced guys. C9, C9.
C9, C9.
We're not willing to count M&S.
Correct.
I guess.
Who won before that? EG?
It's Danny and JoJo. Like, it's not that long ago. It was 2022 spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, those are pretty big names for Masu to be right next to.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that it would be great for Masu to cap it off there. And also, speaking more of intrinsic motivation, I think Busio, after just the split he had last split, not spring where he was innovating, played the, do you remember what he played, a zero support way
his
back.
Very first game.
Yeah.
And lost.
I think it was that very difficult summer split on 100 Thieves with just so much pressure. Mm-hmm. Because that's a intense fan base that wants to win now. You had Someday come back. You had Double Lift on the roster as your laning partner asking all of these things of you. And now all of a sudden he's with the fresher player, with the younger Rook.
Yeah.
And I think that's just really cool. Because I was really worried for Busio that last experience that he had would be damaging. Mm-hmm. And instead, it's turned him into an all-pro, and he's looked at every part of it in playoffs. And, you know, if they win, he's going to be a massive catalyst for that as well. Acknowledging that a lot of the important calls being made by top jungle, you get a lot of teamfight damage out of mid. He's done a lot of the great setup. And it's just really cool to see the next Mercurial support kind of step up like that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one thing that ends up working to his benefit here is he's pushed back against the notion that he's now the one bringing the rookie along.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he has.
He's pushed back really because he's still that. Like, no, I'm still pretty damn new.
Yeah.
And actually, it is Inspired and Whippo, like, fighting their bot lane in review, like, frequently.
Yeah.
Who knows? This is obviously only hearing the Whippo and Inspired side, but they've said that in some of their reviews, it's just like a bot lane highlight reel where they're just, and highlight is used very loosely here, where they're just showing more macro points for the bot lane. Like, you needed to reset here. You needed to move in this spot.
Yeah.
You needed to push this wave. And I still think that can be good because I still think they're fairly moldable. What was interesting, and this piece hasn't come out yet, but it's a little bit from Emily. It's one of my favorite pieces of content that LCS does. Not many people see it. We pick like a bunch of highlights and lowlights from a team's year. And we just set them up in like the theater view, like the five of them.
Yep.
And then we just show them clips and we let them go. Mm. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And they just react. We've done it with C9, we did it with NRG last year. But I feel like it gives a small window, more than an interview, into the actual atmosphere. Interpersonal dynamics and atmosphere of the team. Like the NRG one last year showed that they're very willing to argue healthily with each other.
Yep.
It also showed Ignar was very tired. He just wasn't involved at all.
Yep.
But what Emily said, because I haven't seen the piece yet, was that Busio actually pushed back a lot, which I think is actually very healthy and needed.
Yeah.
That it's not just whatever Inspired and Whippo say goes. They're going to give their opinion very strongly. But the fact that someone down bottom lane is willing to stand up for themselves is going to be really healthy for their debate.
Well, think about it from last year on 100 Thieves. Was there going to be pushback from Someday? Probably not. Was there going to be pushback from Quid? Probably not, because he had just come over from Golden Guardians.
Yeah.
Maybe you could see the jungle and bot lane duo fighting over it. And, you know, he's just going to listen to his, you know, legendary multi-MVP, multi-champion Double Lift over and over again.
Yeah.
He's learned from that and kind of taken that with him. So big ups to Busio.
So you have C9 beating TL, and then FlyQuest beating C9.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, I pick TL, but if TL wins, I do think they lose to FlyQuest.
Bold.
That was a 5-game series. That's more. And if C9 wins, I think they beat FlyQuest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think as much as FlyQuest isn't comfortable, if you just 3-0'd someone, but it was like a weird 3-0.
Correct.
You're going to get a little comfortable. And the idea here is like literally last split, C9 3-0'd Energy, Energy dropped down. Energy barely made it back up and then hit 3-1.
I think you're right because, and we talked about it earlier, all it takes is the form on the weekend. And mm-hmm. Cloud9 get to test the weekend before. I mean, the day before the finals, right?
Yeah.
Saturday, Sunday. And I think if that is a team that is on form and gets to tinker and feel it out and play, I think it's less about what FlyQuest does, mm-hmm. even though they do a lot of great things, and more about the form of this super team. So as much as we've talked about super teams bad, they fail, they're not going to work.
They could still just win.
They're still in it. They're still in it.
I know. It's so weird.
Yeah.
With that being said,
yeah,
and you're going to be annoyed at this, the TL winning would be the most like shocking, but actually not that crazy. Like I think if I'm putting percentages on this, right, it's like FlyQuest, I think, is slightly over 50% chance to win the whole thing.
Sure.
Because I think, you know, let's say they have a 65% chance of beating TL and a 50% chance of beating C9 afterwards. So they're like, let's put them at 57%.
Yeah.
It gives me 43% left to play with.
Yeah.
I don't know why I committed to these numbers so early.
Yeah.
But if TL does make it through.
You said 50% to beat. Oh, I guess.
I have 43% left for these other two teams, which is, I've screwed it all up.
Sure.
Anyway, I think TL has like a 20% chance of winning the whole thing. And then C9 will be a 23.5% chance, and that makes the numbers work.
I think it's a little more than that for Cloud9 and a little less than that for TL. I do think if TL win, it's a big feather in the cap for CoreJJ, who I think has had...
Oh, man, he wants to win so bad.
Remember, Pacer was running all those things. The general of America. He's trying to drive everyone forward. Uh-huh. He's trying to make America win worlds. It was him, the way that he scrammed, the way that he talked with everyone, the way that he brought players together. And then his performance suffered.
Yep.
He wasn't playing as well for a couple of years, or for a year, a couple of splits. And this year, he has bounced back. He has looked good. I would have had him fourth on my ballot. And I think he's been the rock that they have built upon. And... you know, it's been both ways. He's stayed and they've kept him, and to bring them back to winning after having their long-term super team, you know, or I guess they became a super team, that would be huge. I think that would be massive for him and his legacy. So
back in 2020,
okay,
when Scouting Ground still existed,
yes,
right after Worlds, me and Spawn are doing the interviews with all the Scouting Grounds people, and
so
we're looking for an AD carry for Academy.
Coach Jet, okay.
Yeah, and we were picking between Spawn, who was Dignitas' AD carry last year, and Yawn. And you know one of the ways we made that decision?
Core.
Core JJ duo-queued with both of them. Like, he was so committed to helping build the TL Academy team, and he wanted to play with Yawn. We had other reasons we wanted to play with Yawn as well, but, like... in a sense, that's the lineage already. Like, that's a long relationship.
Yeah.
That was 2020.
He was cheating on Tactical.
We're 2024 now. I mean, he wants someone under Tactical to put pressure on Tactical. Core's all about this, by the way. Like, he wanted Ayla to put pressure on him to be better when we had Ayla, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the fact that Core hasn't won since 2019 is crazy with how good he's been over the years. Mm-hmm. So... it would feel really good to see Core win again, even if I only gave him, you know, 20.72% chance of winning.
We're just making up numbers.
Okay, I think that's it for LCS. But you brought these things for some reason. I want to hear your story.
So I brought the project. I'm not sure if you could see these. Here, I'll pull them up. I had these project toys, right?
Okay.
The project skin line toys, and that was because I've had these in my car since 2017. So when I first joined LCS.
Yeah.
I got these.
You had the same car for 7 years?
Yeah.
Nice.
For more than that.
That's good.
I think it's a decade.
It's older than my phone, which is old.
Thanks, man. Yeah. It's a great car. It's a great car.
I mean, it is. Cars should last a long time. People change cars. Whatever. Yeah. Keep going.
And it just reminds me, right, of my time at LCS and you know, like the journey of getting back and staying involved and whatnot. But then it... The reason why I brought him out and just thought about it is because it's the same thing for you, right? You've been there and been such a part of the LCS for such a long time. Mm. You moved on a couple times and came back. Mm-hmm. What is something sentimental that reminds you of the LCS that wants to continue to give to it, not only just as a talent on the show, but you gave to it on a team, as well as 100 episodes of covering LCS content here.
So you've had these in the car because of the sentimental value?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I'm trying to think of something, because there's going to be something that's there. Generally, I'm probably not as sentimental as I should be.
Yeah. I mean, do you have like an old, like a season two, season three thing? Do you have anything from your playing days? Do you have?
I mean, I'd say it's a little different for me, but where your story made my mind go was actually to stuff like this and stuff like last year's Let's Go and JLXP's at Worlds, where I got to do interviews with like Contracts and Sven and DeMont, like the DeMonte Train episode. It just like, it reminds me and makes me really grateful that even though I bounced around with originally playing for Rock Solid, which became Dignitas.
Rock Solid, baby.
Back in 2011 and being Scumbag Jad for a quick little 2 months to joining Riot, to being one of the first casters on LCS, even though I missed the first week because it was my sister's wedding.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, back in 2013, leaving for game design, coming back really enjoying it, leaving for Team Liquid, not enjoying it at the end, taking a bit of time off, coming back, right? But then I feel like, for whatever reason, the stuff I was able to do and that people were able to like bring me in for, because I cannot match this production quality and I cannot get access to the T1 facility to talk with Huni, and I can't book a golf course, Deegan. I just can't do it.
You do it for me. I guess a tee time, but not a whole
all
golf
of
course.
Those things, I don't know, all of those things came together, and it's just, this is stuff I never would have been able to do 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And 5 years ago, my ego was like, man, I can do anything. But like, I know that's not true at this point. So just the ability to kind of look back and actually draw experiences and tell stories from 2012, 2013, when I think they're relevant, when a lot of fans like haven't been watching that long, is the stuff that makes me appreciate the journey that I've been on. I don't think I necessarily have a specific nice physical memento. I do still keep all of my Worlds hoodies somewhere, all the way back to 2012, even though that was not great quality back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got like shirts or hoodies from every single Worlds. But that's about it.
Yeah, I've always wondered, just because I have two cards. I have a note card from when I drove across the country from Virginia to LA to join Riot. It was a friend of mine saying, hey, you know, wrote some biblical verses in there for me and said, hey, don't forget me when you have more than 187 followers on Twitter, which was very funny.
Nice.
And then the second thing is the note card from our LCS Tonight episode. It was the worst moment in my career where, like, I need to know how the Worlds play-ins format happened, because it was the first time we're doing it.
LCS Tonight?
Yes, LCS Tonight. We sat in the director chairs.
Okay.
I needed to know what the format was, and I didn't get the information.
Yeah.
I didn't go seek it and be like, hey, I need this.
Mm.
And then it was time to go, and they're like, okay, lights, camera, action. All right, Deegan, you're live. We talk through it. We get to that point.
Yeah.
And I blank. Like, my mind blanked.
Yeah.
And I started stuttering. I couldn't talk. And you picked it up. And you guided us through it generally. Mm-hmm. Here's all the wildcard regions. Mm-hmm. They're gonna play in a tournament. We're gonna see who gets in. That's all I need to say. And I was like, and from there on out, I call it my concussion moment. I couldn't just, I was just going from, it wasn't brain to mouth. There was no processing anything.
Yeah.
I still have that note card in my car because it's just a reminder of like, hey, this is where you started. And hey, remember how fun it was? You know, you got these like toys and stuff, and you're like, okay, cool, I'm doing this thing I dream about. Keep working towards that and keep making sure that you are having the same impact that you wanted to have then you are now. And so we're, you know, getting to do that with fans and with players and with coaches, staff, be able to tell stories of everyone along the way, like yourself, which you need to do more, tell more about you, is very fulfilling. So congrats on 100 episodes, man. And
I'm sorry that I don't do more podcasts. I have like, I have a bit of guilt about it that I...
Not enough, obviously.
Because I know I'm so fortunate to have people that will watch the podcast when I make it. But I still,
Gotta do it. Gotta 100
episodes.
It. 100 episodes.
Thank you everybody for watching. Please check out Let's Go as well. It's gonna be a good one as we approach the LCS finals. Very percentage-based predictions that we have. Deagon, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, cheers, brother. Yeah. Thanks.
All right, that's it for us.